final case this morning, United States v. Jumba.
Good morning, Your Honors, Counsel. May it please the Court. My name is Marissa Miller, and I represent the defendant appellant Amin Jumba. The District Court committed three reversible errors. The first was its denial of Jumba's motion for a new trial based on Brady. The second was using the wrong drug weight to calculate Mr. Jumba's sentence. The government has conceded this issue in its brief. The third was its failure to consider all of the Section 3553A factors sufficiently. I'd like to spend the bulk of my time on the Brady issues, which I will address first. My client was charged with possession of pseudoephedrine with the intent to distribute and knowing that it would be used to manufacture methamphetamine. His defense to this charge was public authority. To prove public authority, the defense submitted evidence at trial that Jumba had a pre-existing and long-standing relationship with law enforcement dating back to 1991. He also presented evidence that he reasonably believed that that relationship would naturally extend to his deal with Qasem. Critical evidence regarding that defense was not produced, which will be discussed in detail later. The jury rejected the defense's argument. Had that evidence been produced, there is a reasonable probability that the jury may have come out in a different way. The record is clear that there were two confidential source files that pertained to Jumba. One was in Chicago and one was in California. It's clear that the government performed a thorough search of the Chicago file. What is not clear from the record is that whether the government performed a thorough search of the California file. Despite Mr. Jumba's continual requests for evidence pertaining to this pre-existing relationship with law enforcement outside of this case and outside of any involvement with Qasem, the government did not produce or even search for documents that showed that the Qasem deal was like many other deals that Jumba had pursued. The government argues that speculation regarding the contents of this California file is not enough under Brady, but that implies that a review was done and that a representation was made that none of this evidence existed. Here, no such representation was made that a review was done or that such documents do not exist.
I thought the review was done just on the shorter time frame when the court didn't adjourn the trial date on the party's joint motion, but it was done by an agent in California as opposed to the Illinois case agents or prosecutors.
That is true, but the review was limited by the district court to only evidence that had to do with law enforcement providing Jumba with pseudoephedrine samples.
Well, that's the only relevant line of inquiry, because that was the nature of his public authority defense, right?
It wasn't just the possession of the pseudoephedrine. The charge was that he had the intent to distribute with knowledge that it would be used to manufacture methamphetamine. If Mr. Jumba believed that he was acting undercover in this deal, he didn't think that Qasem would then use that pseudoephedrine to manufacture methamphetamine. He thought that Qasem would be arrested. So evidence regarding Mr. Jumba's past relationship with law enforcement was very relevant to his charge and his defense.
But he didn't have a past relationship with law enforcement in California, did he?
Yes, he did. Since 1991, he worked for the FBI, because of the work that he did with the FBI referred him to the DEA. And then he came to Chicago and worked with the Chicago DEA.
Did the defense ever ask for an in-camera inspection of the California file?
No, the defense never did that. But we submit that had that been done, that we may not be here today. The defense's request for an in-camera review is not required under the case law that addresses this issue. Phillips addressed this fact, and in that case, which is very similar to this case, the court recognized that the same evidence that was at issue here, that Juma sought to have been reviewed or disclosed, was relevant and material. The government entered into an agreement with the defendant in that case and agreed to search the file and then produce a summary of the contents of that file so that the defense could then ascertain whether or not the file contained exculpatory or impeachment evidence. It was after that summary was produced that the defense objected to the summary and thought that it was insufficient. The court then performed an in-camera review of the contents of the file. None of that was done here. The due process that the Phillips defendant received falls far short, the due process that Juma received falls far short of the due process that Phillips received in that case.
Did the defense know about the Jimmy Shish Kebab matter before trial?
Yes, the defense was aware of that, of the Jimmy Shish Kebab case. The defense argues that the files in California could have been comprised of several Jimmy Shish Kebab-like cases. And had that evidence been produced and Juma been able to present that evidence to the jury may have come out in a different way.
If I could just clarify which files we're talking about.
Sure.
There's no question that all of Juma's confidential source files were searched for impeachment material, and any that was found was disclosed. And Kassem's Illinois CS files were searched, as I understand it. And so the subset of CS files that we're talking about are just Kassem's California source files, and those were searched, but on the shorter time frame after the district court declined to adjourn the trial, and a more focused search was performed of those?
It was Juma's confidential source files in California, and
Not just Kassem's.
And the government a week or two before trial represented to the court that it had not completed its Giglio review. And at that time, there was a hearing, and the district court limited the completion of that review to only evidence regarding whether or not Jumo's ever provided with pseudoephedrine samples. We submit that that was not sufficient under Brady. In light of the government's affirmative obligation to produce evidence that is material and favorable to Juma's defense, the district court improperly limited the search of the California files to a narrow subset of documents. This limitation flies in the face of the government's Brady obligations, and Juma was prejudiced by this limitation. Without this evidence, Juma could not show the jury that he reasonably relied on his authority, on his relationship with law enforcement, and he could not negate the mens rea element of the charge that he was convicted of. If the court doesn't have any further questions on that, I'd like to move on to the next two issues. On the 3553 factors, we rest our arguments on the brief. But I will say that the sentencing was very similar to that in United States versus Schroeder, where the district court ruled that, where the Seventh Circuit ruled that the district court gave short shrift to the defendant's argument simply because the alleged hardships defendant discussed were caused by his own criminal conduct. The government has already conceded that this case needs to be remanded for further sentencing proceedings, and we respectfully submit that it would be appropriate to remand with instructions to the court to fully consider the facts that Mr. Juma raised at his sentencing hearing. That brings us to the third issue that we raised in our brief, that the court used the wrong weight to calculate Mr. Juma's sentence. The government conceded that it was plain error for the district court to use the wrong weight to calculate Mr. Juma's sentence. So the parties agree that a remand is necessary. Unless the court has any further questions, we reserve the remaining time for rebuttal.
Thank you, Ms. Miller. Ms. Crow?
May it please the court. My name is Angel Crow, and I represent the United States of America. I'd like to start off by addressing the issue of what files were searched and when. All of the files were searched, the files in Chicago and the files in California.
And for both parties, for Juma and for Kassem.
Correct, for Juma and for Kassem. And that review was done by January 17, 2006, which was a few days before trial.
And this is a plenary search for all Brady and impeachment
Absolutely.
Material? Not
that,
something more focused?
What do you say to your colleague's submission that the district court specifically limited it to the question of whether whether Juma had ever been given authority to bring pills?
The district court did limit that review, but the government did not limit its own review. The review was already ongoing by the time the district court focused the review on that one particular issue about whether the government in the past had given pseudoephedrine tablets to Mr. Juma. But before that hearing on January 12th occurred, the government was already reviewing the file, and that was a full review for all Brady, for all Giglio material, and that's what the government does in its normal course. It reviews all files for Brady and Giglio because that's its obligation, and it did comply with that obligation here. At the January 12th hearing, the district judge here asked the defense counsel, what in particular do you believe is in those files that constitutes Brady or Giglio? And the only answer that defense counsel gave at that hearing was, we believe that there are documents in that file that shows that the DEA in the past gave pseudoephedrine tablets to Mr. Juma as part of its undercover obligation, undercover operations.
So this statement to page 31 of their brief that the prosecution itself admitted that it had not reviewed all of the relevant files is just not correct?
At that time. That was at the January 12th hearing. The review was not complete by then.
Right.
The review was complete by January 17th.
Nice. Thank you.
So the review was completed by January 17th, and that review was for all Brady and Giglio materials, not just the pseudoephedrine issue about whether those tablets were given in the past. And the government came back on January 18th with a report to the district judge saying that the review was complete, the entire review, and that there were no documents in those files regarding whether or not the DEA had given pseudoephedrine tablets to Mr. Juma in the past, and that if that had occurred, there would have been such documents because it required high-level DEA approval to approve the possession of pseudoephedrine by an undercover agent who was not a DEA employee. So there would have been documents documenting that if it had occurred, and no documents were in those files. And that's not to say that no Brady or Giglio materials were produced here. The government did produce Giglio materials regarding past investigations and also regarding Mr. Kassem and his payments that he received, his plea agreement, documents along those lines that were Giglio materials. And that only goes to show that the government's review was complete, was not limited to just this one issue. Now, the standard of review on this issue is abuse of discretion, and it's the government's position that the district judge here did not abuse its discretion in finding that the government did not violate Brady or Giglio and that a new trial was not warranted here. And the district court also did not abuse its discretion in asking the defense counsel specifically what documents it believed were Brady or Giglio that went beyond the government's own representations that no Brady or Giglio materials existed. It wasn't an abuse of discretion for the district court to ask that question of defense counsel and then to limit the review to the files of whether or not pseudoephedrine tablets were ever given in the past. Additionally, it's also the defendant's burden here to prove prejudice, that if, in fact, any additional documents existed, which they don't, but if they did exist, that the defendant was prejudiced here. And it's the government's position that the evidence was so strong at trial that there was no prejudice. The defendant actually distributed more than 1,000 pseudoephedrine tablets without the DEA's knowledge, without telling the DEA that he had a buyer in mind, without naming the buyer, without telling him exactly the place and the time where this deal is going to occur, so that the DEA could establish surveillance, could put a body recording device on Mr. Juma, could supervise the entire deal, which it had done in the past, as noted by that Jimmy Shishkabov information investigation. The government showed at trial the contrast between those two deals, what happens in a proper deal that is supervised by the DEA, and what happens when the cooperator is going out on his own and not involving the DEA. So the evidence here was so strong that there was no prejudice. Regarding the sentencing issues, the government stands on the arguments in its briefs, and it does concede that a new sentencing hearing should be performed on remand. And if there's no further questions from the court, we ask that the court affirm the conviction but remand for resentencing.
Thank you, Ms. Crowell.
May it please the court, Victoria Levy on behalf of Amin Juma. Back to the issue of what files were searched. At the time of the January 12th hearing, the government had represented that the California files had not been fully reviewed. And they had represented that any review that was being done there was for Giglio materials, i.e. impeachment evidence. They were limiting their search to anything with in Juma or Kassem's files that were related to each other. So anything in Juma's files on Kassem, anything in Kassem's files on Juma. At this, however, even this review they had not completed, and they continued to maintain, both in their motions in limine and at that hearing, that they believed that these files were generally irrelevant. At this point, the court specifically directed them to just look for anything regarding pseudoephedrine, whether Mr. Juma had ever been given pseudoephedrine. However, the documents in California were never fully reviewed with respect to Mr. Juma's argument that he would be able to establish a past pattern and practice, past investigations in which he participated that would corroborate his defense that this investigation was just like the others. Their briefs and their motions, in fact, demonstrate that they do not even seem to appreciate this defense. They keep saying, well, the jury found that he was never provided with pseudoephedrine or permitted to have it. But even if that were true, if Mr. Juma could have established that this investigation was just like the others and his California file, good faith, reason, and belief, we believe, would contain evidence of these past investigations, he would have been able to show that these were no different. He was able to point to the Jimmy Shishkabob case, and the two sides differ as to what that case showed. We, of course, believe that that corroborated Mr. Juma's arguments, but one case was simply not enough for him to establish a pattern in practice. And we believe that a full review of those California files would have done so. This isn't a case where the government did a full review. They had not done a full review, and then they were ordered just to look for pseudoephedrine. And their briefs are very clear that they do not state that a full Brady review was ever done of those files. They clearly state they looked for pseudoephedrine. Nothing of that nature was found. But a full review for Brady materials of those files was not completed. In the alternative to a new trial, we would request that in accordance with the other the sentencing proceedings, that the district court order the government to do at least a complete review of those files and to produce a summary, something like that which was completed in Phillips, with the expectation that that's something that the defense would be able to look at, and if they feel appropriate, request that the court do an in-camera review. Thank you, Your Honors.
Ms. Miller and Ms. Lovey, the court appreciates your taking this assignment and vigorously representing your client. We thank you. We thank both counsel, or all counsel. The case will be taken under advisement, and the court will be in recess.